Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle.
What time is it?
It's mango time.
Now the number one time special of the year, it's mango time, the mango time. In Africa, the big rain come again.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. And today's interview is with Andy Brand and Sven Fortley, two vegan activists who have embarked on a cycling tour from their hometown, Cape Town, South Africa, to Ethiopia and back, going up through the Rift Valley and returning the east coast of Africa. Their campaign is called PEACE, Pedaling East Africa for Community and Environment. Thank you, Andy and Sven, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks, Marlene. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Marlene.
I'm really excited to hear all about your cycling tour and what motivated you to embark on this noble, important, powerful campaign, your experiences along the route, and the vegan food that you eat. If you could share with our listeners your cycling campaign, the basic rift of it.
Marlene, I've been planning this trip for quite a while now, and my original plan was just to go through Africa because it's my home continent. I was born there, and I really wanted to spread the vegan message into Africa because I feel that Africa is where we, as a human species, came from originally. And I think a new society needs to come from somewhere, and I think Africa could be the place. And it's possible that we could lead the rest of the world in changing to a more balanced way of life that's in harmony with nature. And also we could learn a lot from tribes and things that still live closely with nature in Africa.
Exactly, Sven. Thank you. And Andy?
For me, it's also about letting people know, I guess, that you can do this kind of athletic exercise on a vegan diet. We're also both not young anymore. We're in our 50s. So I guess it's about just being an example and letting people know there's a different way of living, that we can choose an alternative lifestyle, and that we can be strong and fit and ride bikes through Africa, and we don't have to be eating animals in order to do that.
And I've seen your photos on Facebook and your website, and you both look great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're beautiful and an inspiration. How long have you been vegan?
I've been vegan for 6.5 years now. I was vegetarian for 10 years before that.
I first went vegan in 1982, but it was plant-based rather than vegan. But I only became what I would call a compassionate, ethical vegan about 2 years ago.
Yes, I do believe it's part of our evolution. Can you share with us your plans for your cycling tour from Cape Town, South Africa, through the Rift Valley to Ethiopia?
Yes, I went cycle touring about 5 years ago, 2009. I cycle toured through South Africa a bit and through Swaziland on my own. And upon returning, I was thinking to myself, I would love to do this more, but that I would love to give something back to communities that I encounter on the road. So what I did is I looked at the map of Africa and tried to figure out where exactly I would love to go. And the Rift Valley has always intrigued me.
Rift Valley running southward, down to the southern plain, all the way down to Malawi, from that northern arid land. If you climb the western ridge,
and because it's so full of nature and life, and there's so many animals, wild animals still there, that it's quite unspoiled in a way. So the Rift Valley really appealed to me, and the Serengeti. And so I just simply joined the dots and came up with this route to go up to at least by the equator and to return again via the east coast. When I met Andy, we were talking about it, and we both wanted to see Ethiopia, and we wanted to see the highlands in Ethiopia. It's just really beautiful natural areas. That's really what inspired us. Our plan is to go through South Africa into Zimbabwe, and then through Zambia, where I was born, to the top of Zambia, and then through the Rift Valley, starting in Lake Tanganyika between the DRC and Tanzania, and go up to Rwanda, Burundi, and Uganda, through Uganda to Kenya and into Ethiopia. When we get to Ethiopia, we want to go up to the source of the Blue Nile, Lake Tana, and then turn around from there and go back down into Kenya again, and through into Tanzania via the Serengeti, go through the Serengeti there, past Kilimanjaro, and then to the coast, probably go to Zanzibar and maybe some other island. Then to go down to Dar es Salaam and back across inland to get to Malawi, and go down the length of Malawi into Mozambique, and then going down south to go through Swaziland and back into South Africa and across South Africa to Cape Town again.
What I think is so beautiful is that as you're doing this to enjoy East Africa, you're bringing more joy with your cycling campaign and your flags on your bikes. Peace begins on our plates. And will you share with our listeners more information about that connection of what that means, peace begins on our plates?
Yes, it's quite an interesting perspective. I've long thought that the whole gist of our trip is to show people that peace isn't something that comes from a government or that somebody else is going to bring into your life. That peace is something that we actually need to live. We need to practically live it. And the best way we can do that is by our meals. That's the most powerful way we affect the world around us, is by what we eat. And if we're consuming violence and causing violence through what we eat, then we can never have a peaceful world. So we need to look at what we're eating firstly. What you're putting into our body in many ways is what you'll get out in the end, what we become. It's our daily choices that really create our life.
And then I can just add that we often feel that as one person that we can't make a difference and that we can't affect change. I think people feel disempowered. They feel that the problems are so huge that what difference can one person make? And yet, by making choices about how we spend our money, what we spend our money on, whether we're buying meat that's supporting an incredibly cruel animal farming industry, or whether we're choosing to buy plants, makes a huge difference and has huge ramifications as far as global warming, ecological issues, and beyond. So we're letting people know they can make a difference just by choosing what food goes on their plates.
With your message and the flags on your bikes of peace begins on our plates, I see that the final outcome is in sync with Nelson Mandela's quote, "I dream of Africa, which is in peace with itself."
Mandela really inspired me in a lot of ways. He had a really special way about him. I think that quote of his really says it all, that his goal, his dream was to see an Africa that's actually at peace. That's just why I put that quote there, was to inspire me as well, to bring that about and to try and extend his legacy. And I believe that peace is a direction, not really a destination.
And I give you both a lot of credit for your noble work. Okay, we're having a conversation with Andy Brand and Sven Fortley, two vegan activists who are cycling from South Africa along the East Coast up to Ethiopia and back with a message that peace begins on our plates. After this short break, we'll be back with more conversations with Andy and Sven.
Experience the uplifting power of rhythm. Join us for the WCUW Monthly Drum Circle on the third Sunday of every month from 6 to 9 p.m. in the front room of WCUW at 910 Main Street, Worcester. Anyone can participate by drumming, dancing, or watching. Extra drums are usually available for borrowing, but you're encouraged to bring your own drums and hand percussion. $5 at the door. WCUW's monthly drum circle on the third Sunday of every month. We'll see you then.
WCUW presents a unique mix of musical genres, ethnic and cultural programs, as well as alternative news and community information reflecting the interests of our diverse listening audience. At this time, WCUW has several vacancies in our world music lineup. If you have an interest in ethnic-specific programming such as French, Italian, Greek, Euro-Asian, or other cultures, and a musical archive representing that interest, please complete the program suggestion form available via a link from WCUW.org. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and my guests today are Andy Brand and Sven Fortley, who are cycling for peace.
We travel with Sprout in like a peanut butter jar with holes in the lid, and I rinse the sprouts in the morning and in the evening. They're actually lentil sprouts. After soaking them for 24 hours, then I rinse them just in the mornings and the evenings. And within about 3 days, we have beautiful sprouts that grow. We eat them for a snack every now and then with some bread and peanut butter. It's really healthy, and that's probably what's kept us going through the Eastern Cape.
And they live in the water bottle cage on his bike.
That is totally awesome. Is the area you just left called the Homelands?
Yes, it would have used to be during apartheid years.
It used to be called the Transkei. It's actually Nelson Mandela's home sort of area. He was born there and died there.
I had read books written by the author Mark Mathabane.
Yes, it's a very interesting book. Mark Mathabane, I think, is his name. Yeah, he wrote a book called Cattle Boy, which I, interestingly enough, also read in the early 80s. In fact, I met him on a plane. I was living in Los Angeles, and we were both on the same plane. And what was so interesting about that book was that he is of a similar age to me, and he was growing up just down the road from where I was growing up in South Africa. And when I read Cattle Boy, it was only once I had left South Africa that I encountered that book, because I'm sure it was banned here at that time. It was astonishing to me how I knew nothing of his life and what his life was like. His life was so different to mine as he was growing up. And that book was a real eye-opener for a white girl growing up in an apartheid society.
You can't be there if your skin is white and it's a
yes, I really enjoyed his books and I highly recommend them. And also his book African Women, about his mom, his sister, and his grandmother.
Oh, beautiful. I haven't read that one, but I might go and read it now.
Yes, it's wonderful, and about their experiences of growing up under apartheid, in addition to the oppression by the system and by the white supremacy in the colonialism, how the women suffer also from the men, the African men, under the domination. And so it was quite revealing and quite touching. Andy, when you mentioned how you were unaware of his conditions, his lifestyle under apartheid, I see this as a connection to what's happening to the non-human animals. I think most of us humans do not see the reality of the suffering, the injustice, the misery that we are causing by our choices, by our consumer choices, by our actions. I see that connection. I think it is through evolution that we are coming to a point in human consciousness of ridding this globe of all systems of oppression and exploitation. And like your campaign of peace, and peace begins on our plates, that this is the last taboo, the last acts of cruelty, and that as this is released from our consciousness, from our actions, we will together manifest a world of peace and joy and abundance for everyone, not just for some, but for everyone. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Marlene. I think we would both agree with everything that you've just said. And it also made me think about why is it that we are in the situation that we're in, and what is it that's changing the situation? And I think that a lot of it has to do with social media. That social media is allowing us to find out about what's really going on in factory farming in particular. In the same way that what was going on in apartheid was kept, the information was kept from us as white people, and we could have found out, but we would have had to have made a big effort to find out, and of course some people did, and but most people didn't. So there were activists in those days who made an effort to find out. And the same thing is happening now. People don't want to know, but they're kind of being forced to know because they come across that information all the time.
And just to add to what Andy was saying, I also grew up in a apartheid era, and I grew up in a small town in South Africa. I didn't know what was happening with the apartheid situation.
Apartheid!
And I just thought it was separate development, and I thought it sounded very fair that they've got their own country and we've got our own. And it's one of the things that make me really want to dedicate the rest of my life to animals who are suppressed in exactly the same way, that I don't want to go for 20 or the next 20, 30 years of my life not doing anything. And then looking back and thinking, well, I knew about it. Why didn't I do anything about it? And now that I know, I can't relinquish that responsibility. I need to do something. So that's what this trip of mine is all about, is that I just want to try something so that I can at least look myself in the eye kind of thing at the end and say, well, at least I tried. I think it's our responsibility to try and help the repressed. And animals are the most repressed of the lot.
Yes, and you are powerful, the power of one. And in your case, with Andy, the power of two. And what you just said about the animals are the most oppressed and yet they're ignored as if their lives don't matter. I think it comes down to practicing the golden rule. I can understand how many people don't see that. And it reminds me of when the African National Congress formed in 1913. They excluded the African women. And the African women were saying, by excluding us, that's a system of oppression that you're practicing on us. And the men in the African National Congress in 1913 didn't see that. And so I think that's similar to what's happening with a large percentage of the population globally who's not seeing the oppression and exploitation of animals in that same light. It's easy to not see it when we're on the side of the oppressor or the side of the predator. And I think it's very important to see, because as we sow, we reap. So as we act as predators, then we create predatory business practices, and then we see the problems with what's happening with the transnational corporations acting like predators over other people. I know that with your awareness, especially of the philosophy of the World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, the book and campaign of Will Tuttle, is that this is the root cause. And I give you a lot of credit for being courageous and loving to spread this message along the coast of East Africa.
We're also busy with a course of World Tuttle under the World Peace Diet. We've done the World Peace Diet Mastery course, and we're busy training ourselves to be facilitators. And as you say, it's a herding culture thing, what he talks about in his book, about humans being a herding culture. As we herd animals, we also herded ourselves into big corporations and 9-to-5 jobs and very oppressed situations by the minority.
Especially so with the domination of the feminine. That's what animal agriculture and all herding cultures is about, the domination of the feminine in the feminine sexual anatomy and physiology. Andy, do you have more words on that in relation to animal agriculture as well as the status of the women that you are encountering on your travels?
Yes, it's always at the forefront of my mind. And I was just thinking about making that comparison between factory farming and apartheid. And I was thinking about the problem is the status quo. Because things are done the way they are done, and because that's the way they've always been done in our lifetime, we don't know any other way, and it takes somebody else to come along and say, but hey, there's another way. And so it goes with the suppression of women, the suppression of animals. We had to have feminists come to the fore and point out these things. Women had to point out to men that they were being oppressed. And somebody has to point out that animals are being oppressed and are being cruelly treated. When I talk to people about the dairy industry, I often ask women, when I'm trying to describe it to them, you know, women, especially women who have had children, I like to say to them, what do you think it would be like if you gave birth to a child, and that child was taken away immediately, and you weren't even allowed to nurture that child. And then you were artificially inseminated. You were basically raped, and you were made pregnant again. And then during the entire duration of your pregnancy, you had to be milking. You had to be feeding this machine. You know, if we can just transfer that into how a woman would actually feel in that situation, we can't even comprehend the magnitude of the pain and the cruelty that's involved in that. If a woman can actually really understand that, it would be very hard for her to carry on eating dairy foods.
Exactly. Well, it's about time to wrap it up. Any closing messages that you would like to express?
I guess the most important thing is, if I was going to be an inspiration to anybody, I would want to inspire them in a way where they understand that by themselves they can make a difference. We don't know, we can't measure the impact that we're having on our trip and with what we're doing. There's no way to really measure it. We have to trust that we are making a difference. And even if you're just planting a seed, you're making a difference. So like you said earlier, Marlene, the power of one is very, very, very powerful. And I think it's for us to not forget that, all of us, to know that every conversation that we have, every time we're helping somebody understand something that they didn't know already about veganism, about animal cruelty, about the potential for making a change, that we need to do that.
I agree with Andy that this trip of ours is all about showing people that they are powerful and empowering them. It's really something that I want people to know, that we're not trying to disempower them by taking away their meat or their cheese or their bacon, but to empower them into understanding that they can make a change in their lives and a change in the world, ultimately, by making better choices. And that these choices will automatically feed back into the system and make their world a better world. And if we can just get that message out there. And we have two audiences. We have the one audience is obviously the people that we meet along the way, which are not always locals. We meet a lot of travelers as well. And the other audience is obviously our social media audience and people like the people listening to the radio show now. We need to inspire them as well to go out there and spread the message and let people know that there's something we can do. We can change this world. All hope is not lost. That just as we've changed from our old ways of ignorance, that we could open the eyes of other people that they may also change and become part of this new wave of consciousness that's going to change our future.
The new wave of consciousness is increased blessings and decreasing pain.
Beautiful.
On your website, I think my favorite picture is the picture of the beach scene with the bovine next to your bike.
Yeah, she was trying to eat my flag.
Is that apropos? Oh, that's really apropos with her trying to eat your flag that says peace begins on our plates.
Exactly.
I remember we had to chase the one cow the one time because it was eating your flag. We're trying to stop it. I told you that.
And what contacts can you leave with our listeners?
Okay, so our website is velovegans.com. So that's V for vegan, ELOVEGANS.com. And our Facebook page is called Peace, Peddling East Africa for Community and Environment. That's a bit long, so the easiest way to get to it is, well, there are two ways. One way of getting to our Facebook page is just to go to our website. You can click on our Facebook page. You can click on our Instagram feed. You can click on my blog. Or if you want to go straight to Facebook, do it via the URL. So just type in facebook.com/ and then the word peace.pedal. So peace, period, pedal. PEACE. PEDAL.
Okay, great. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation, and we've had a very exciting conversation with Andy and Sven, who are peddling East Africa from South Africa up through the Rift Valley to Ethiopia and back down the East Coast for Peace, Pedaling East Africa for Community and Environment, their peace campaign. Thank you very much, Sven and Andy.
Thank you, Marlene, so much for having us. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we send love and blessings to everyone.
Vegan hugs all around.
We get so inspired by people like you being interested in what we're doing. So it really works both ways. It helps us so much because sometimes we do feel like we're quite alone, and we just love it that we have people like you interested in what we're doing. It helps us so much.
Oh, wonderful. Stay close to Vegan Nation. In the near future, we'll be following Sven and Andy's route up the east coast of Africa as they head north. Much thanks for the songs Rift Valley, Mango Time, and Antholone Incident from the album Sorry Africa by Tony Bird at mangotime.net. The net catches the mangoes. Sven and Andy, your vegan campaign, PEACE, Pedaling East Africa for Community and Environment, is powerful. It's clear to me that when a population partakes of foods that are freely and peacefully given by Mother Earth, and no longer participate in attacking and killing the precious ones of mother animals, this collective humane action will result in peace for Mother Africa. In Swahili, asante sana. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's go out with Bird Song, Zambezi, Zimbabwe.
Singing as this word, pulling on the river, the big Zimbabwe bird. Some busy water coming down.
Some busy water.
Oh, some busy water coming down.
Zimbabwe.
Browns a busy river bringing down. Free waters for Zimbabwe. Some busy Zimbabwe, yeah.
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.